have never been one to give a message based on the day. You know, today's Father's Day. So I sat down with Luke chapter 11 and Jesus said, I say unto you, verse 9, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And my intention was a message on the power and efficacy of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. I mean, if we don't have a supernatural life, then why do we even claim Christ? You know, he's God. We have him living within us. And if we don't have a supernatural life, what are we doing? What's it all about? So I began to write. And 4 pages later, it was a Father's Day message. So that's where it goes. If you then, being evil, in other words, we're not perfect. You know, we come from the sin of Adam. And we don't do everything right. You know, Felix and I, no, it was Randy and I. We're talking beforehand, and I was expressing, Randy, you're an awesome father. And he goes, I don't know. There's a lot I wish I would have done differently. And I thought, oh, there's a lot I wish I would have done differently. But with God, there is, he as a father has always done well. He's always done perfectly. He's always done love. He's always done faithfulness. He's done everything that he says that he is, he has done for his children. So that's how my message came about. I'd like to call it The Father Who Forgives. And part of this will be personal testimony woven into this. Some of it I may be a little uncomfortable. I hope, you know, all put together, it will be a blessing and speak to your heart, even as he has been speaking to mine. Some of us have had really wonderful fathers and wonderful upbringings. Some of us not so much. It's not that my father was abusive or necessarily an alcoholic. I don't think he was, but he was awfully busy. He was a doctor. My parents were atheists. I was not raised in what you call the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In fact, I wasn't much raised at all. And yet, despite all that and how little I really knew my father, I craved his attention. And those few times that he gave me that undivided attention, that time that we went out in the front yard, here I am feeling it right now, and he played catch with me that one time, it is etched on my heart. It is. And the time that after a lot of begging and cajoling, he went on an overnight Boy Scout with me, camped in the tent with me, and he was horribly miserable. But that memory sticks with me. And one other one that was a few times that's precious to me because he did it so well was when he spanked me. Because when he did, you know, for all of his inattention, but he did it so well. You know, when it was time for a spanking, first question was, well, what did you do? And I have to say, well, I lied, or whatever the problem was. And he'd say, well, what does that mean? I get a spanking. And he'd tell me how many times he was going to spank me, and then he'd bend me over and he'd give it to me good. And at the end, he'd give me a hug and send me on my way. And even that is a very precious memory to me and ended up being a good lesson. We always have God's undivided attention. And Jesus revealed God a very new way that had never been revealed before as the Father. How much more shall the Father, your heavenly Father, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Our relationship with God as a Father, it's new from before Christ till now. It is a completely new thing. He was God. He was Jehovah. He was Creator. He was the God of covenant. But when he became God, our Father, our Heavenly Father, something new came into existence. Something new, something very personal. In Psalm 139, it says that the psalmist said, how numerous are your thoughts of me? They're more than the sand of the sea. And he is thinking those thoughts. His attention, undivided attention, is on each of us throughout the day and the night. When we're up, when we're down, when we're worried, when we're full of faith, when we're afraid, his thoughts are full of us, and we have his undivided attention all the time. It's so beautiful. I think of those who have had such a wonderful father, you know, like y'all. How beautiful it is to have been raised in a situation like that. I think of Wendy's dad, Ed Fontenot, rice farmer. And I wish I would have known him. Such a beautiful legacy that he left in the way that he raised his family, full of faith. Everything was always going to be okay. Oh, that's all right. Just pick it up off the ground and eat it. You know, that kind of thing. And never ruffled. Just full of faith. And what a gift that is. But in any case, all of us have had imperfect fathers. When I was still young, when I was 12, 5 months apart, my parents left me. They both took their lives. And Psalm 27:10 refers to that. When my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. He will take me up. And he did. I can't tell you how lost and confused and I had nothing to grab onto. I had no grounding. I had no awareness of Jesus, no awareness whatsoever. And yet he came to me, and at age 15, my heart was filled with Christ. I received Christ. And he took this orphan in and made me his own. Glory to God. And I've had the best father since then. I have no daddy issues with him whatsoever. The only issue I have with him is how wonderful he is, how worthy of my honor and praise, and how tender and loving I feel toward him, even as he does toward me. And he has been so faithful, and I've always had his undivided attention. I have had the best father. He's the only perfect father in all of creation. And this was a glorious time in my youth, getting to know the Lord. First time, all of this was so fresh, learning about him, loving the body of Christ, loving to be around other Christians. so fresh, so beautiful. There's just nothing like it. It's so easy for us to take for granted what has become maybe our culture. You know, we're in a church culture, and it becomes too normal for us. And it's nothing like normal. It's nothing like ordinary. It's extraordinary, and it's even supernatural that we would all be together and worldwide, called together as the body of Christ, and members in particular, and having the same care, the same love for one another from a myriad of backgrounds that, and in many cases, couldn't be any more different, like me, Mr. California, you know, Mr. Grown-up atheist, and Wendy, Cajun farm girl, and growing up in a most beautiful situation, full of the gospel. You know, her mom led her to Christ when she was a child, you know, at Camp Pearl, at the bedside. It's a lot of beautiful things. But when I was 17, that last year in high school, I was no longer at military school. I had been away at military school. But I was in public school that last year. And I had a friend, Steve Wagle. I don't know if I should have said his name. He was trying to get me to go smoke hash with him every day. And I mean, he was faithful. Right? Every day, five days a week, every day at school. Come on, Evan, you know, we'll go do this. And I kept saying no, kept saying no, kept saying no, until one day I didn't say no. And my shame, not only for having done that, but for having failed the youth group that I then led later on that afternoon, and boy, did I fail it, caused a very sudden and precipitous fall. And I fell out so fast and so deep, and deeper than I had ever known before. Because when I took the name of Jesus, when he became my identity, it's like I have his brand on me. And I became a target also for the kingdom of darkness. Satan wanted to take me out, just like he wants to take every Christian out. And when I opened that door, then he came rushing in. And I found myself at a much darker place than I had ever been before. I became the guy in Proverbs 26. Yes, Proverbs 26. And in verse 11, as the dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. And I did more than return to my folly, because when I turned 18, I inherited from my parents. They had made no provision. There was no trust or anything like that. You know, they acted rashly, and then I end up with a sum of money at the age of 18, and that just fueled insanity. It supercharged it. And so I was really more like the guy out of whom the spirit was cast. And then, you know, he doesn't fill that space like we need to fill our space with Christ. I was that space that was empty, swept, and garnished. And seven more spirits more wicked than the one before came into my life. I was that person, certainly seven times, and it was a very steep descent into darkness. And I took others out with me. My low point And I wanted to get to this so I could get to what God started to do. It's so awesome. Was a particularly crazy night in the rented house I was in. There was three of us living there. And one of them, he had been a Christian, serving the Lord. He had fallen out as well. I kind of took him out with me. And this particular crazy night, Larry looks at me in all of that insanity that was going on, and he said, "But do you still think that Jesus is the only way to God?" And it caught me up short, and I couldn't answer him. I didn't know what to say. All I said was, "I don't know." And something happened, just something sunk in me very deeply, and I knew I was in trouble. And I determined that I was going to get help. And one person that I had associated with before that I knew heard God was a friend of mine named Billy Reed, but he had moved off to Denver. And so I decided I was going to go see him and see if he could help guide me and get me back on track. And unfortunately, and this is just a little sidebar, what help is man? We need our brothers and sisters. But I went to go see Billy, and shocking to me, he made a pass at me sexually. And so there was no help there. But he had asked me on my way if I would stop in Hutchinson, Kansas, and pick up his sister to bring with me to go visit. I said, sure. So that fateful night in Hutchinson, again, was drug-fueled. And by the way, the Greek word for witchcraft, the Greek word for sorcery, same Greek word, is pharmakia. We get our word, of course, pharmacy from it. And there's a number of ways you can translate it. You can translate it witchcraft, sorcery. You could say that it is incantation by use of drugs. And drug culture is very much tied into the occult. And whether people know it or not, they're being called into a realm that they know nothing of. They're opening doors that they shouldn't be opening. And of course, that door was very much open for me, especially that night. And I found myself mixed up in a world of witches and witchcraft and Satanists, and I had no idea what I was walking into, and I ended up in a terrible situation that night, in crisis, and I needed help, and there was none to be found where I was, and I started in the middle of the night trying to call people I knew that knew the Lord, and in those days that meant a collect call in the middle of the night, everybody I called was asleep, both physically and spiritually, and I got no help there. And I ran out of options, and I found myself in an anteroom of this little house that I was at, having the life squeezed out of me. And I had a mind to succumb to it and just take my last breath and be done. And that God-given will to live kicked in. And I cried out to God. I cried out to him. I just cried out, "Help, help me." And he came rushing in so fast, so thoroughly, so suddenly, so completely. And the restoration was immediate. And the reason that I'm bringing this out is that he is the Father that forgives. He is the Father that forgives. We think that we have to maybe do penance or do enough things to get back in God's good graces after all the damage that I had done to him and his people. Certainly, he wasn't just going to, take me up to, all the way up into his throne room, but he did, because that's what he does. What an incredible, blessed peace, filled my heart. It's unbelievable. Immediately, I was hearing his voice. Well, we think, well, I'm not hearing his voice because I haven't been reading the Bible enough. I haven't been praying enough. And there, these are wonderful disciplines that I would encourage all of us to walk in, because we do need to grow in the Lord. But that's not what is standing in the way. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of listening. He's speaking to us all the time. Are we hearing him? Are we asking? Are we knocking? Are we seeking him? These are questions we desperately need to be asking ourselves all the time. Where am I with him? Am I hearing him? He is speaking to me. Am I hearing him? Am I seeing him? Am I seeing his hand? His hand is at work. Am I seeing it? In Psalm 34, since we're nearby in Proverbs, Psalm 34, verse 4, we even sing it. I sought the Lord, he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Wherever you are, if anything in your life, shame, your struggle, the sin that you've struggled with, praise God you struggle, that you haven't given up, whatever it is, I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me. And he delivered me from my fears, it says. And there is a spirit of fear that has gone out over the land, and it is growing and taking people in. Don't allow yourself to be moved by fear. If we're to be moved as Christians, let's be moved by faith. If we're being moved by fear, I mean, the only legitimate fear is that love and respect that we have for God Almighty. You know, that is being moved with the right fear. Otherwise, we are to be moved by faith and not allow our decisions to be made in light of fear, but in light of the God that we serve and the God who loves us, the God whose attention is fully on us, who said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You are always mine. We are always in his sight. He's counting the hairs of our head, and he has our best interest at heart. And if we will reach out and ask, if we will seek him in that moment, he's there completely. He's not a 90% God. He's always 100%. Do you think that your struggle, that your depression or your fear or your anxiety or any of these things can keep you from the Father's closest place, from his living room or from his dining table, from dining with him at his table? And I'll answer that. No, none of those things can keep you from him. Let's go to Luke chapter 15. There's this woman in verse 8. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, or I think some of your translations may say drachma. Anybody have that in there? That's a type of coin that was not in circulation at that time. It was either a Greek or a Roman coin. It wasn't used for money. We think that this parable is about the woman losing some money and having to search the house for it. And the drachma did have a monetary value, but at the time of wedding, the mother passed these 10 pieces of silver to the daughter. It was part of her dowry. And as a married woman, she wore them in her hair, those 10 pieces of silver. And it was a terrible, terrible shame and disgrace to have lost one of them. Everybody would know it because those 10 pieces are always there signifying that you are married and whose you are and the value that is attached to that. So she lost one of those 10 pieces. She lights a candle. She searches the whole house, sweeps it, seeks diligently till she finds it, and has this tremendous joy when she does find it. And we think that this parable is about that coin, which of course would be us. And it is, but it's really about the woman who gave she stopped everything and gave her full attention until that lost coin was found. And then in verse 11, I know it's familiar, so worth going into. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said, "Father, give me my goods." And that son, he went out into a far country, and he used up all those goods in riotous living. I'm reading to you my story. Pastor Lee, fairly recently, preached from this, an unbelievable message. I highly encourage. Anybody know what the title of it is so you can find it on the website? I can't remember, but you should be able to identify it, and I highly encourage that you watch that. I am certainly, I won't speak for you, I am that prodigal son. I am also that brother, that critical, you know, that brother that did the right things and could only see wrong in what was happening. I'm both. And I believe all of us are. Well, at any rate, he came to himself. He found himself at a crisis situation, just like I did me. And he said, "I'm going to go back to my father." And that is all that he had to do, because the father did the rest. The father was up on the hilltop, and he was searching. He was searching. He was looking. His full attention was on that lost son. And when he saw him, he came running to him. And we think that we've wandered so far. I certainly did. We think that we've wandered so far, we kind of have to make our way back. That there's some path from the depths that I've been in to the closeness of my Father in heaven. And there is none. There's no time or space. He's instant and he's there. He is always present. He's always with us. Oh, it's so beautiful. The Father saw him. He had compassion rose up in his heart, and he ran to meet him. And in verse 20, he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet." What was he doing here? When he put that robe on him, and remember, this is the younger son. In this culture, the firstborn son was the one who had the inheritance. He was the one who had the signet ring. The signet ring was the thing that you sealed wax with. And the one with the signet ring had access to all the wealth of the father. Everything that he had, it was his debit card, so to speak, and much more than that. It represented everything that the father had: his lands, his houses, his servants, his livestock, everything. And this younger son, this was not done, but this younger son, when he came to his father, he was given that robe of authority. He was given that signet ring that gave him access to everything in the Father's kingdom. And he has come to us and he has clothed us in robes of righteousness. And that gives us that authority of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have that authority. And he has given us that signet ring that is access to everything in his kingdom. Meanwhile, the other brother, the dutiful brother, who did everything right, it's like, you can't do that. And the father answered, oh, yes, I can. And on what basis? On the basis of the blood of Christ. On the basis of his blood, of his sacrifice, I can do this and I will do this. And he will do it for each of us. Glory to God. Is there a walk with the Lord for us? Absolutely. You know, is there growth and maturity in Christ? Absolutely. But the Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And today, every day, every day, every day is an opportunity for a fresh start with him. And I need a fresh start with him. Father, I'm sorry. Restore me. He comes rushing in. How beautiful he is. You know, he doesn't just walk in. I mean, he rushes in. He's instant. He's with us all the time. He's closer than breath. We turn to him and he's already there. And he does it. Will the Lord tire of forgiving me? That's a question to ask yourself. Is he going to get tired of forgiving me? How many times have I asked his forgiveness? I can't count that high. How many times has he forgiven me like that? Every time. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. He is Abba, Father. This is something else unique that Jesus brought forth. And he, when he knelt down there in the garden, Abba, Father, if this cup can pass from me, it was that like daddy, my precious father, my dear father. It's a hug of him. Even so, he has shed forth his spirit in the hearts of those who have received Christ. And it says, and with that spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. Is he that intimate to us? Is he that close to us? Is he that dear to us? Is he that touchable? That loving, that present Father. And yes, he is. That spirit is in our heart crying, Abba, Father. That, to me, that's a cry for intimacy. It's crying through us, the Spirit of God crying through us for intimacy with the Father. He's the good Father. He's the perfect Father. And Jesus is always knocking. You know, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, will you open to him? I will come in, and my Father and I will have dinner with him. We will sup with him. We'll sit down at the table. Don't we want that kind of relationship? And I would say, yes, we do. Can you feel him knocking on the door of your heart? It's so easy to grow cold and to grow indifferent. Or just to be ho-hum, like, yeah, I'm a Christian, you know, this is my normal thing. I've been doing this for years, and it becomes ordinary. But what we are in is nothing like ordinary. It's extraordinary, and it is supernatural. And we that have the first fruits of the Spirit within us, living through us, live a supernatural life. Let's live a supernatural life. Would you stand with me? I'd like to pray with us. Oh God, you're so beautiful. You're so full of love that we can't even comprehend, but we can apprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. I know, Lord, that we have failed. I have failed you over and over again. And you have forgiven me over and over again. Thank you, Lord. What can I do but render honor and praise and thanksgiving to you? Glory and praise are due to your name. Lord, every heart that has been touched, just ask, Lord, minister in those hearts. Fill by your Spirit. Do a work that no man can do, but that you, precious Abba Father, love to do. We thank you, Lord, and give you praise.